Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report, and I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Are you confused about just how and when to get a COVID booster shot? Well, you aren't alone. Last week, the California Department of Public Health updated its guidance on booster shots, telling providers to let people judge their own needs for a shot and not turn anyone away. But many are finding the online appointment systems aren't making getting a booster vaccination easy. KQED's Carly Severin has more.
Official advice is pretty much everyone should get a booster ahead of the holidays. But if you're trying to make an appointment, systems including the state's own MyTurn website still ask if you qualify under the CDC's original criteria, such as age or health. And that's making some folks anxious about not being truthful. The state says MyTurn will be updated to reflect the new guidance by Wednesday. In the meantime, their official advice is to speak to your provider or find a walk-in clinic. But whatever you do, you won't be asked for proof of eligibility to get your booster. For the California Report, I'm Carly Severin.
Stanislaus County is the latest county to lift its indoor mask mandate for those who are fully vaccinated. County public health officials there had required people to wear masks indoors, regardless of vaccination status, back in September. But they say improving COVID numbers are the reason for lifting the order. Health officials continue to urge the public, though, to get vaccinated. Currently, 61% of residents 12 and older have received at least one dose of the vaccine in Stanislaus County. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is scheduled to join Port of Los Angeles officials this morning to discuss the latest on the backups and supply chain delays. This comes a day after the port's executive director, Gene Soroka, announced he's postponing fines for shipping companies. The fines were going to be levied for letting shipping containers stack up at terminals. The so-called container dwell fee was approved last month as a way to help alleviate a backlog of ships that had interrupted the global supply chain. Now they won't be charged until at least November 22nd. For now, port personnel will monitor the docks to see how much improvement they can get without having to levy the fines. Since the fines were announced in late October, the twin ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach have seen a 26% decline in cargo on the docks. With President Biden signing the massive infrastructure bill yesterday, the numbers are in on exactly how much California will receive. The bulk of the money, more than $25 billion over 5 years, is being allocated to repair roads that are in poor condition. Nearly $8 billion will be used to repair bridges and improve water infrastructure. Another $84 million will help with wildfire protection, after California suffered through destructive and deadly wildfires in recent years. And Governor Gavin Newsom says the infrastructure package will not only kickstart work on numerous transportation projects in the state, it'll also create thousands of jobs. After the pandemic hit in 2020, more than 2.5 million jobs were lost in California, and the state has a ways to go before that employment comes back. But maybe like me, you've seen a lot of help wanted signs out there in recent months, especially at restaurants, stores, and in the hospitality industry. And there's a lot of talk about something called the Great Resignation. Basically, workers are feeling confident enough about their job prospects to leave employment they already have to look for something better. Get this. In August alone of this year, more than 400,000 Californians quit their jobs. It was a 20-year high for that number. So, given all that, I wanted to see what hiring looks like now and what workers are thinking as they look for new jobs. So, I went to a jobs fair.
All right. So, good morning and welcome to the Legends Job Fair. After you go through your security screening, you'll come and check in at the check-in table. You'll scan the QR code for the specific job application that you would like to apply for today. And once again, good morning and welcome. Come on in.
I've come to SoFi Stadium. It's the brand new NFL arena in Inglewood that's home to the Los Angeles Rams and Chargers. But this morning, jobs, not sports, are front and center. The stadium is looking for about 2,000 workers for both full and part-time positions, from cooks and bartenders to security guards and guest attendants. 24-year-old Palestina Washington has come here with high hopes. She's currently a home healthcare worker, but is tired of the low pay and is ready for a change. What are you looking for job-wise right now?
Just the next adventure. You know, each job is supposed to be something new, something uncharted, and I've never worked for a stadium. I would like to see what that life is like. And this is a great opportunity, too, because it's fresh. And it's screaming for help.
Screaming for help. They're looking for a lot of people, to hire a lot of people here.
So if you say you can't get a job, you're not looking hard enough.
In this economy right now?
Right now, as of right now, yes.
So may I ask, what is the bare minimum for you when you're looking for a new job now, whether it's pay or time off? What's an absolute must-have for you right now?
Benefits.
Health and?
Dental, vision, you know, the basics.
And pay, if I can ask, could I assume something that's north of $20 an hour would be?
Yeah, something that's livable. Yeah.
Something where you could put food on the table, keep a roof over your head.
I still have a little bit of change for gas.
A little bit of change for gas. It is LA after all.
Hello.
For a wider view about the California labor market right now, I talked to Jaime Sedano. He helps run a union-backed training academy for workers in the hospitality field and co-organized this hiring fair. Sedano says the situation for workers has changed enormously in recent months, mostly for the good, as businesses recovering from the pandemic roll out the welcome mat for new hires.
The fact that so many places shut down and so many businesses actually had to, you know, close their doors, this shows that, you know, we're opening back up. We're getting ready to bring the community back to work.
Do you think that folks here standing in line for a job are in a stronger position to get what they want from employers than they would have been before the pandemic, just the way the job market is right now?
Absolutely. The reason why the market is so strong is because there is a lot of people that still can't or won't go back to work. And these folks have the ability to almost, you know, get what they want. Because there's so many more jobs than people right now.
They got leverage right now.
Correct.
And people who actually get a gig here, who walk out of here, or will hear about a job that they can get here, will be paid from what to what, generally speaking?
$16 and above. $16 up to $22. It really depends on the position.
Above California minimum.
Oh, absolutely right. Above California minimum.
And that's kind of the norm now.
And that is the norm, and especially working in a union environment with certain contracts, once you work enough hours, you do qualify for benefits also.
But Sedano acknowledges that even with higher pay and more benefits, many Californians with new jobs will still struggle to get by because of the high cost of living in the state and growing inflation that's taking a bigger bite out of paychecks. And we'll note that California still has a fairly high official unemployment rate at 7.5%, and some studies indicate it's higher. But the people at this stadium jobs fair are hopeful that a new job, here or someplace else, will provide them with fresh starts. As she comes out of her employment interview, I run into Palestina Washington again and ask how it went.
I think it went really good. I like what I was hearing. The people seem friendly. They seem like they want to teach you something more than what you know. So,
and when do you think you're going to hear something back from them?
They said within 2 weeks, and that will be my congratulations. Thank you for joining the team.
Oh, so you could literally have a gig here within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
In the 1950s and 60s, the United States created its modern freeway and highway system. It was an engineering marvel, but it also brought pain and injustice, like when poor communities of color literally saw their neighborhoods paved over, forcing residents to move. A new investigation by the Los Angeles Times reports that kind of displacement still happens today when new infrastructure is built. I spoke with Times reporter Liam Dillon, who covers neighborhood change for the Times, about the new findings.
So we have national data from the Federal Highway Administration that we analyzed that said more than 200,000 people across the country had been displaced by road projects over the past three decades. And what we found in the projects that we were able to examine, we looked at 22 of them across five states, including California, of course, is that, you know, nearly two-thirds of these projects had displacements that disproportionately affected Black and now Latino communities. And so these original patterns that we saw in the 50s and 60s, in many ways, are still being replicated to this day.
And I assume with the passage of this massive new infrastructure legislation that looking ahead, there are concerns that even more of this could happen in the future.
Well, that's the thing. You know, U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has talked a lot about the racist history of highway construction and that it's incumbent upon the administration to sort of do something about that. And they tout that in the bill, $1 billion that was allocated or that's been allocated to sort of reconnect communities, what they call it, kind of tear down freeways and do things that aim to fix some of the harms that occurred a half century ago. However, here's the sort of the rub with that. There's hundreds of billions of dollars in that bill that is, you know, mostly unrestricted that could go to state departments of transportation where they could use that to further expand the highway network and continue to displace more people.
What about the argument, hey, you know, it affects some people negatively, that's terrible. Right. Maybe they can get some sort of market value for their homes if they're living in homes or be resettled in new apartments. But what do you say to the people who say that, as terrible as it is a reasonable price to pay for expanding our freeways? So it's easier to get from point A to point B to point C. What about that argument?
Right. And you sort of see this well as, you know, yeah, this is unfortunate, but it's sort of the price of progress, right? Like that's the argument that's being made. The issue, though, is that, you know, there's now a substantial amount of academic research that indicates that new road building and freeway widenings doesn't actually ease the congestion problems that they sort of are aimed to solve. And I think, you know, obviously California or LA or Southern California listeners specifically would be aware of the Interstate 405 widening through Sepulveda Pass. You know, 7 years ago, this was the, you know, famed Carmageddon example, right?
Where they closed the entire freeway down for freeway expansion work.
Right. To add a lane. Yeah, right. Exactly. And what we found, and I think drivers on the 405 know this very well, you know, we're just within a year of completion, rush hour traffic was just as tied up, right, on the 405. And what happens is, you know, when you widen freeways, it can increase traffic because it leads to sort of housing development along the fringes and encourages more vehicle trips. And so, you know, this progress, I suppose, that's being touted in these freeway projects doesn't necessarily come to fruition. And so it adds another question about why we're asking families, and again, the families affected the first time and neighborhoods affected the first time, to once again sacrifice for solutions that may not ultimately solve the problems that everyone says they will.
So what you're saying is you both eradicate neighborhoods and communities without necessarily solving the gridlock problem.
Exactly.
Again, that's Los Angeles Times reporter Liam Dillon. After leading the state through two of its worst wildfire seasons on record, Cal Fire Chief Tom Porter has announced he will retire before the end of this year. Cap Radio's Scott Rodd reports.
In an email to department staff, Porter said he was retiring to focus on family, his aging parents, and himself. Governor Gavin Newsom appointed Porter in January of 2019. His tenure was shorter than previous department leaders, but Porter steered Cal Fire through record-setting wildfire seasons driven by decades of poor forest management and climate change. He at times struck a somber tone about the state's wildfire crisis. Here he is at a press conference in August.
Every acre in California can and will burn someday. Just make sure that you're ready when it does.
As chief, Porter placed a greater emphasis on the need for fire prevention, including forest thinning and prescribed burning. However, the state has made inconsistent progress towards its ambitious goals. For the California Report, I'm Scott Rodd in Sacramento.
And that is the California Report for Tuesday, November 16th. We are a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.
Support for the California Report comes from Hint, fruit-infused water in over 25 flavors like watermelon, pineapple, and blackberry. No sweeteners, no calories, in stores or delivered from drinkhint.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes Schmidt Futures, focused on finding exceptional people and helping them do more for others together. on the web at schmidtfutures.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.